and thank you so much for listening to today's Community Insights programming. I'm Hannah Jensen, your host with Salem Media Group. Today, I'm so excited because I have Philip Wilder in the studio to talk about the Great Commission Alliance, a non-denominational Christian ministry. Welcome, Philip. This is the first time you being in the studio. I'm excited to have you in.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to have, to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. It's so funny. So off air, we were kind of talking about your journey here, and you've had quite the journey. And I offered you some coffee, and you said you didn't want any coffee. I'm a little offended because I'm a coffee drinker,
Sorry. But
it's okay. So, Philip, you know, this is the first time really talking to you, and I'm excited to kind of dive into Great Commission Alliance. How are you involved? What is your exact title with what you do with the ministry?
So my title with the ministry is Great Commission Mobilizer, and that includes a lot of different facets of what we do as a ministry. But I guess the three main categories of what we do is we develop, all of what we do is focused around evangelism and discipleship, and basically just coming alongside the church and equipping the church in both of these areas. So that plays out into trainings, and conferences, both locally and globally. It also plays out into producing resources, so books, gospel tracts, even YouTube videos. And then the third way that expresses itself is through practical evangelism and discipleship, actually doing that myself and walking alongside other people to help them in doing evangelism and discipleship. So that's basically the Great Commission Alliance in a nutshell.
So do you guys then like partner with different churches, ministries, and you're kind of basically helping them go along their ministry, kind of like holding their hand a bit?
holding their hand sounds a little bit like we're looking down on them. Basically, we all came out of campus ministry, and campus ministries are kind of known for really taking evangelism and discipleship and running with it. And that's awesome. We love that they're doing that. We started realizing, why is it that students have to wait until college to start getting equipped in evangelism and discipleship? What if the church were equipping them in this all along, and this was integrated into the church body? And so we want to be catalysts, I guess you could say. We're not holding churches' hands. We're going to be catalysts for these churches to help propel them further in doing evangelism and discipleship.
We obviously know and understand what it really means to evangelize. Well, hopefully you do. And if you don't, can you explain to us what that really looks like?
Yes. So that's actually a really good question, because a lot of people think, oh, evangelism is you stand on the street corner and you just preach. And yes, that could be considered evangelism, though I personally don't do that. And I don't think that is the most effective way, especially in our modern culture. Relationships are really important. And so yes, I'll go and I'll do evangelism with people I don't know, but I make sure that there's a relationship there. So it's typically a one-on-one conversation, and that happens in a whole variety of ways. So maybe that's me walking around a park and I start talking to somebody, or I'm at a grocery store and I'm checking out and the clerk is checking out all my items. I see that there's no one in line behind me. It's like, oh, I'll use this opportunity. So just random situations like that. It's kind of fun because you have no idea when the next opportunity will come or when God calls you to speak to the next person. But of course, evangelism can also be with your neighbor, you know, somebody you do know well, or with a family friend. But evangelism is basically, I like to call it the first step in discipleship. Discipleship is taking a believer and helping them come to know God more by walking along side by side with them. Evangelism is coming alongside a non-believer and helping them come to know God more. So it's kind of the same goal. It's just one is before salvation, one is after salvation.
I think it's really cool because I remember growing up, I went, you know, went to youth group and I, you know, grew up in the church and everything like that. But talking about discipleship and evangelism, at least from my experience, was very seldom. And like, you know, you need to go out, you need to, you know, be led by the Holy Spirit, like what you were talking about. Doesn't need to be like at a corner of street, like, you know what I mean, preaching the gospel. I didn't, or I should say, I felt like I am not equipped to know what to do, if that makes any sense. And I think that's really cool that you guys are a ministry that is partnering and is equipping and is like kind of setting them off, like you said, to help those who don't know Jesus and to disciple I think that's mm-hmm. amazing. So when it was started, the Great Commission Alliance, when was the triggering moment for you guys this is a need?
Yeah, so our founder, it was kind of his dream for years. So I think he started having this dream about 10 years ago of taking what he saw at the university, this multiplication that he was seeing, you know, a new person coming to know Jesus and then sharing the gospel with somebody else, seeing them come to know Jesus and then discipling them and equipping them so that they could go and share someone else. And he just got really excited about this. He's like, why is this the first time I've seen this? Why isn't this happening in the church or are people talking about this in the church more? Mm-hmm. And so that started just over 10 years ago. We officially launched as the GCA in January 2018. So we are coming up on our 5-year anniversary. And honestly, we're just blown away with all that God has done through this ministry so far. Just this last month, we passed training 20,000 people.
Whoa.
And we're hoping to reach 25,000 by the end of this year. So before we reach our 5-year anniversary.
That's insane.
Yeah.
20,000 people from like 5 years ago. How have you seen personally? Do you have like a personal experience where like God showed up? I mean, with 20,000 people, God is showing up. But like, do you have a specific moment when you're like, oh my gosh, this is real stuff?
Yeah. The funny thing is when God shows up, you often don't realize it until weeks or months later.
Mm.
And so the moment that I can speak on when God showed up the most was like not a moment I can brag about. It wasn't like I was full of the Holy Spirit and like preaching and like people were weeping in the crowd, you know, that didn't happen at all. I was exhausted. Totally exhausted. It was the end of a 3-week trip. I'd been to, I think, 4 or 5 countries. This is my second continent. It was my last training. I was so hot. My third training for that day. And so I was just so exhausted and just ready to be done. And I was by myself for this training. Huh. And I did this training. And I thought it went terribly. But then after this training, this guy reached out to me and he said, after we did that training, he was with YWAM. He was doing a 6-month YWAM. I forget what they call it, but their expedition, we'll just call it that.
Yeah.
Anyways, and so they really liked the training and they decided to implement our evangelism tool. Mm. It's not a tool we created, but it's one we really believe in called the 1-Minute Witness. And they used that. The whole YWAM base used that 1-Minute Witness evangelism tool, and he just saw so much fruit from it that he realized, like, this has to be the rest of my life. Mm. And so he started talking with me and he's like, you guys need to come to my country, Cameroon. You need to train my church and all these people. And I'm like, okay, we'll try. But he ended up kind of setting the tone for what we want the GCA to be now. Mm. And that's kind of less of us Americans and more of our international partners. So we're supporting these international partners now who are going out and training people now on our behalf. I mean, we're still going as well too. We're going to new countries, but they're reaching their own countries. So this one guy who I met through just being totally exhausted and feeling like God wasn't using me at all, he himself has trained over 2,000 people.
Wow.
And I had no idea that would happen. And so I just think that's a crazy story, but also just a good lesson for us to learn that, you know, if we're walking and following God faithfully, you might not feel God moving. You might not see, you know, the heavens break open and a dove descending. You know, you might not see all of that. But God works in slow and subtle ways that then after a while you look back and you say, wow, God really moved, you know. But you don't often see it in that moment.
You're very decorated. It seems like you've traveled around the world.
Yeah.
How amazing is that, by the way? Like, you know, seeing the different cultures, the different people, and being a part of GCA and seeing God move in different parts of the world. Like you said, it's not just America. Like, we live in this bubble. I live in a bubble, at least. I'm just speaking for myself now at this point. Traveling around the world, that has to be just so humbling.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the reasons why I don't drink coffee, honestly.
Oh.
Why? I have teammates who love coffee, and you know, it's great for them. But this is what happens. We'll get into this other location, maybe really early in the morning, and people are just exhausted. Or we have to get up really early in the morning, and there's no Starbucks around. There's no coffee in the hotel. And they're like, I can't function until I get coffee.
Withdrawals.
Exactly. And so for me, it's just like, I never drank coffee to begin with. And so I've just been fighting it ever since I realized that, because it's like, why make myself need something that I don't need to need when I might not always have it available? So that's kind of my perspective as to why I don't drink coffee. But yeah, you know, traveling the world, it's definitely humbling. A lot of people, like, I'm always afraid to mention that, because some people can be like, oh my gosh, you travel the world. I just passed 30 countries, which I'm real thankful for. But I had never left the country before I moved out of the country when I turned 22. So within the last 7 years, I've gone from zero countries, literally zero. I'd never been to Canada or Mexico, to now 30. And that's just following God. And, you know, he knows the path for us.
he knows the path, but did you feel like a calling? Do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, okay, the Lord's calling me out. Like, I'm going to be traveling, you know, to 30 countries someday. Did you realize that was going to happen?
I always wanted to be a missionary.
Okay.
I love adventure, and I've always loved adventure, but I never wanted to move out of Denver, Colorado. I got mad at one of my friends who moved out of Denver, Colorado. I was like, how could you do this to us? And then a year later, God's like, hey, it's your turn. It's like, ah! So I didn't necessarily expect that I'd be to 30 countries, but, you know, God's will.
GCA, you guys are doing amazing things. Are you guys going to have a 5-year like party?
We are, actually.
You are?
Yeah. I mean, not like huge, but we're all going to be gathering together in California, where our umbrella ministry is located, just to celebrate all that God's done.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What's next for GCA then? I know you said you wanted to reach to 25,000 people by the end of the year. How can you guys, or how will you guys evolve? What's the plan?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of unofficial, but it's kind of inevitable. So first we started off, we would travel to these different countries and train people. Mm. And then after I met that one guy, Kang, in Ghana, who then went and trained all these other people in Cameroon, we started realizing we can save a lot of money by equipping local leaders. Mm. And so that's where we're at now. We now partner with 13 or 14 international partners. And we meet up with them on a weekly, monthly basis and send them out to their local areas and to their neighboring countries. But the next stage that I see is having international training centers where people can come in and get trained for like 3 months or so and then go back to their communities and just be a registered trainer so that then we can send them to anyone who's asking us to go and train them. And we keep getting open doors. People keep asking us to come back, and more countries keep asking us to go and train them, mostly because we offer all of our trainings for free. We all operate off of support, which we're very thankful for, because then we can just be a blessing to everyone around us. And so whenever we go to Africa, we pay our own way. We pay our tickets, we pay our hotels, we pay for our food, and we pay for their food, and we pay for their transportation to come to these trainings, because many pastors in Africa have never gotten training because they just don't have the resources.
Wow.
Yeah.
Free. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
I think that's cool, because it's almost like, you know, God is kind of saying like, no, like my love for you is free. Like you don't have to earn it. Yeah. You know, that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So how do we partner with you guys? How does someone listening to this go, you know what? I am for that. I want to partner. I want to support. Where do they go? What do they do?
Well, we have a website, greatcommissionalliance.org. We also have a YouTube page, Great Commission Alliance Media channel. So you can look us up on there as well too. But I guess the best way to support the ministry is to share about it. We're very well known around the world, but getting traction here in the US has been a little bit difficult. And we would love to do more local trainings. I'm based near Fort Collins, Colorado, and I'd love to travel and train churches in the whole Front Range area. But not very many churches know about it just yet. So that's one way to really support the ministry, is just letting churches know that we're offering these trainings for free. We're not trying to take anything from churches. We just want to come alongside and bless them. Another way, I mean, we definitely need prayer. None of this could happen without prayer. And if anyone does feel led, we do operate off of support. We're very thankful for all of our supporters, and we're grateful that God has provided for us to get us to where we are today. But the future is big and bright, and who knows where God will lead us in the future. So
is this your full-time job?
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
However, off camera, but off the air, you showed me a book that you had co-written, and it's about singleness, and it looked just compelling because, you know, you're a young adult, and I'm sure, and you're married, correct? Mm-hmm. You understand the life of singleness and how it has impacted you, and it has impacted you in a way to write a book. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the book is called Single Isn't Second Best, and this is really just born out of my heart, because when I turned 22, I felt God calling me to move to the Middle East and do missions work there. And during that season, I was there for 2 years, and then for 3 years after that, I was single this whole time. I come from a homeschooled family, and so both my older brothers got married at the age of 21 and 23, and then here I was, 25, and had yet to have a single girlfriend. It's like, God, what are you doing? Am I ever going to get married? You know, I had all these fears running through my mind. And, you know, the fears were one side of it that was really hard. But the other thing that I started noticing was just that the church doesn't know what to do with singles oftentimes. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, we'll put you here until you get married. And then, you know, now we'll use you. Now we know what to do with you. Case in point, some of the singles we interviewed for this book to kind of get a better grasp on people's experiences, one of them said that she just felt like another number in the church. But then later she contacted me and she's like, actually, that's actually a lie, because oftentimes I've just felt totally invisible.
Wow.
And feeling invisible is just one of the symptoms. But while I was training in India, one of the leaders came up to me and he said, hey, Philip, you know what? Next time you come back, you should make sure that you're married, because then people would respect you more.
Wow.
I was like, well, that's a problem. And so it just happens a lot. And I like kind of felt it in a lot of ways that like my married counterparts were kind of seen as more credible in their ministry because there was two of them in this ministry. Whereas like me being by myself, it's like, you know, who knows how long he'll actually stay in this ministry. It's like, I'm pretty committed, you know? And so I just think there's a lot of growth to be had, especially in the fact that God doesn't promise us marriage.
Right.
So anyone who's assuming to get married is setting themselves up for difficulty and hardship, because God never promises us marriage. And the reason why we want to be promised marriage is because we assume that marriage is better. But that's why we titled this book, this single isn't second best. You know, if we're following God, then there's whatever path he leads us to is going to be the best. We're not trying to say singleness is better than marriage, and marriage is a great thing. God created it. You know, we're not diminishing that. All that we're trying to say is single is a viable life calling and a life option that can be just as full as of life and joy as marriage would be.
Mic drop. That's all I got to say. Amen to that. I'm curious, how did you meet your wife?
I met her through a Christian summer camp, actually.
How cool.
Yeah.
That's so neat. Now, is your wife part of GCA as well?
So right now she's studying to get her master's degree in public health, because we want to keep doors open for us to go and live in another country. And that is a huge way to open doors, because every country around the world needs people in public health. And so that's what she's working on right now. After that, very likely, yeah, she'll be coming on full time with the GCA. Of course, she's basically already on staff with the GCA.
She's married to you, so
yeah, she's gone on our last trip to the Middle East. She's gone to our staff conferences. She was helping me just today as we were driving down here put stamps on our newsletters. So
it's a team thing. It's a package deal, right?
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Thank you for sure. If someone wants to read the book, where do they go?
You can find it on Amazon. Single Isn't Second Best. If you forget that title, you can just remember my name, philipwilder.com, and it's on there as well, too. Philip with one L.
I wrote his name wrong, guys. And he's like, it's with one L. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's like someone like it's spells fine. My name with only one H because I have two H's on the end.
So. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, well, exactly. I just remind people that's the biblical way. The two L's is French.
Oh,
one
that's
L
funny.
Is biblical. So
I like that. Mine's biblical then, too.
Yeah, there you go.
So talk about the amazing event that's coming up, Apologetics Conference.
Yeah. So the Best Facts Apologetics Conference is we're partnering with Josh McDowell. And we're so excited for this. It'll be in Littleton, Colorado, September 6th. 6 to 9 p.m. It'll be really awesome. And tickets are selling out. Well, not selling out. It's free. Mm-hmm. Tickets are...
You have to get tickets.
Yeah, you
but
have
it's
to
free.
Register. There's yep. limited seating. And we're running out of seats fast. Maybe that's the way to say it. Right. So we're running out of seats really fast. But it's going to be a great conference. We're going to talk about our Best Facts Apologetics book, which we'll give free to anyone who registers. Mm. So a lot of free here. But ultimately, we just don't want there to be any barrier between people learning and growing in their faith and in their ability to share their faith. Mm. And so our apologetics resource is just a great way to... It's a great summary. It's not a thick book, but it deals with a lot of big ideas that can really help you have confidence in your faith, but also... compacted in a sort of way that's easy to share with other people to help them see that Christianity is not a factless, baseless, scientificless, that's not even a word,
we'll use it,
religion. It is a faith that has the facts to support it. And I personally am a Christian because of the facts. Mm. That's what steered me right back to it. And so we want to be able to equip Christians with these best facts. But Josh McDowell will also be there to talk about the reliability of the scriptures, and he'll be bringing some ancient manuscripts. So I'm excited to see those.
Are you a history buff?
I am now. I'd like to call myself a history buff. I just don't know enough about history, but it is fascinating. So
it is. So when someone goes to the Apologetics Conference, what can they initially expect, I guess? You kind of like had a summary of it, but what can really people can expect? What are they going to take out of it?
Yeah, the hope with this is that you can be strengthened in your faith. Mm. You can walk away from this time being confident of what you believe, that it is the truth, but also being confident in such a way that you're excited to share with others. We'll be doing a quick little training on our 1-minute witness, and... The hope with that is you'll be confident in what you believe so that then you can share that with other people because the facts are compelling. Mm. And I love Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Mm. I mean, it's true. The facts are there. People just need to know about them. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people can think like, well, I'm not equipped to do evangelism or I'm not equipped to do apologetics. And you know, like facts are facts. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how well you share a fact. If you share a fact, it's still going out there and it's still going to impact people. And I've seen a lot of people be pretty surprised at the facts that we have to support our faith that really allow no other option in a sense. And so I'm really excited for people to come to this event and just walk away feeling really encouraged, knowing that their faith isn't a lie, that Jesus really did die and rise again. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy that Jesus, first of all, called himself God, but then backed it up by rising again. And yet the facts support that. Mm-hmm. History supports that crazy, absurd fact. Mm. So much so that we can step out in confidence claiming this. Mm. And people might look at us weird and think we're crazy, but the facts are there. The facts are there. It's really amazing.
You know, I see your passion for Jesus, and it's just quite beautiful, Philip. As we're wrapping up here, is there anything else that you want to like add into GCA, what you guys are about, the conference, anything that, you know, our listeners really need to know about before we say adios?
I guess I would just say, check out our YouTube channel. We've got lots of great content on there. We have an incredible staff member, Benny Renfro, who is so good at creating these videos. And it's just that's the whole thing about our trainings. We want it to be simple and understandable. Not that we don't think people can handle more, but the simpler something can be and the more applicable something can be, the better.
Thanks for being here, Philip. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Once again, this is Hannah Jensen. Thank you for listening to today's Community Insights program, Salem Media Group. If you have any ideas for the show, please reach out to me and send me an email at hannah.jensen@salemcos.com. Until next time, take care.